Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to the first live broadcast of Hard Rock and Sports, my two-hour weekly get-together to talk topical sports and hard rock and metal music. I want to thank everybody who is listening, and if you are listening, thanks, and I hope I get to spend a couple hours entertaining you each and every week. If I don't entertain you, maybe I'll annoy you enough to call me, and we can have a conversation about any of the sports or rock and roll music topics of the day. My name is Tom Florio, and I want to thank you all again for spending a few minutes with me today. Today being my first show, I wanted to kind of explain how I came up with the idea of combining these two passions of mine, sports and heavy metal and rock and roll music. Everybody who knows me knows I'm a big sports fan, played, listen, watch any sporting event out there. I can't get enough of it sometimes. And I've also have a very big passion when it comes to music. So why are you listening? Why do you have to listen? Well, you don't have to listen. Why are you listening? You probably know me and you're probably doing me a favor and you listen to this first broadcast to see what it's all about. So what it's all about is I love to talk sports. I get together with my family, my dad, my uncles, my cousins, and inevitably we get to some topic of the conversation. It could be a game that just was played or somebody made a comment in the media, and or inevitably it'll turn to a list. Who's the greatest third baseman? Who's the best shortstop you ever saw? Best teams. And we have so much fun with it. At least I do. And I thought, you know, why not bring that to the air? Why not have some fun with that every week? You know, why not get everybody together and talk sports? I do. I love talking sports. But why do I want to combine that with music? And I'll tell you why. A couple of months ago, I'm reading a book. Yes, folks, I do read. And the most fascinating part of the book was to find out that the character or the person I was reading about, who was a singer in a band, Ronnie James Dio, was a big Giants fan. And I was more into the fact that he was a Giant fan and his interpretation and his memories of Giant games than I was about him being in Black Sabbath or touring with Iron Maiden. And I realized that there are a lot of people out there who are musicians, who are big sports fans, and a lot of athletes, pro athletes, who are big music fans. Excuse me. So I found it fascinating, and I said, you know, it's a terrific segue from music to sports. You go to games, and people are out there, you're being psyched up by the PA announcers with Crazy Train from Ozzy Osbourne, and Welcome to the Jungle, Guns N' Roses, and Enter Sandman when Mariano Rivera entered games and by Metallica. And I just thought it was a terrific combination of stuff that I enjoy and love and that is involved in everyday sports. So I just figured, hey, listen, let's put this out there and we can open this up to, you know, not only me sitting on the air and telling you about what I feel and my opinions and my observations, let's call it, but yours as well. And most people who are sports fans, you'd want to call into the big shows, FAN and ESPN, and you can never get on the air. Here, I guarantee you can get on the air. There's not that many people going to call in to hear my show, but it'll give you a chance. And maybe we build up a little bit of an audience, and we'll have that kind of talk that I have with my family. You know, maybe we have, you know, somebody will come up with a topic, and next thing you know, everybody's got an opinion. So that's why I want to do this. That's why I'm trying to do this, and that's why I've combined these two things. I am fascinated when I read that there's an athlete, and I hear him talk about bands that I love or bands that he loves. I just find it amazing and fascinating. Why I do, I don't know. But that's why I've come up with this concept, and that's why I've come up with this radio show. Again, I appreciate you listening in. If you are listening, if nobody's listening, I'm used to that. Nobody listens to me anyway. So I figured this is something I've always wanted to do, and with the urging of my brother and the encouragement of my wife, here I am, going on the air, trying to make this sound like a professional radio show. Please bear with me. It's my first opportunity out here, and I'm not sure how all the equipment works yet, so I'm still kind of fresh and new at it. So having said all of that, let's jump right into tonight's topic of NFL training camps. So since we're starting with NFL training camps, and I happen to be a big fan of the NFL football Giants, the Big Blue, the G-Men, we're going to start off with the Giants tonight, and we're going to start the conversation. By the way, there is a phone number you'll notice on your screen, 347-826-9934, that you can call in. Please don't call in yet. I want to talk for a few minutes, and then I'll open it up, and if anybody actually does want to call in, I'll let you know, and we'll kind of have a conversation. But for now, let me get my piece out there and tell you how I feel about certain things. New York football Giants. After last year's disastrous 0-6 start and semi 7-3 finish, the Giants have a lot of questions. They have a turnover in their roster. It was huge this offseason. Coaching changes, new philosophy, I think, maybe an upgrade to try to match what's going on in the rest of the league. So what's the big question this year? The biggest question has to be and will be Eli Manning. Is Eli the 18-touchdown, 27-interception quarterback that we saw last year, or is Eli the two-time NFL MVP? I don't know. I think he's the two-time NFL MVP that I saw 2-3 years ago. I think last year was a combination of no offensive line. It broke down, no receivers, Ruben Randall, and him never being on the same page. I think this year, a new system, what seems to be a much simplified version of what the Packers do. Obviously, Eli Manning is never going to be Aaron Rodgers. You cannot play that system here. But I like the fact that it's talking about a hurry-up system for him. He seems to operate and play better in a fast-paced, don't-think-too-much offense. Kind of a read and react. You know, I think that's where he thrives. I think he's got a lot of question marks around him, and I think that's the biggest problem that Eli has. He's got a 4/5 rebuilt offensive line. I think that they have the opportunity. There's some no names that came on board for the offensive line, and I think there's an opportunity for them to get better. They obviously can't get worse than last year. But having said that, it's a big question mark. I like the fact that they have the extra week of preparation, five preseason games might help them. But that's a very big question mark. Snead retiring, letting go Boss, Beatty coming back off the injury. I think the only solid factor on that offensive line right now is Pugh, the second year right tackle. But that is the only, I think, constant, and again, a second-year player. Who knows what you're going to get? The biggest question I have with the Giants is at receiver. Victor Cruz is Victor Cruz, and I'm sure he's going to have a hell of a season, but Victor Cruz operates better out of the slot. If he's asked to play the wideout predominantly, he is not the same player. He needs that bigger, faster guy, Hakeem Nicks type, that they didn't have last year because Hakeem Nicks wasn't Hakeem Nicks. And I think unless Ruben Randall is that player, the Giants are going to struggle this year offensively. They didn't do a major upgrade in that position. Obviously, drafting Beckham in the first round is huge, but he has not played. So where does that put Eli Manning, Beckham, Ruben Randall, Victor Cruz? Are we on the same page? Goes back to the opening topic. Will that make Eli Manning better right now? I don't know. I don't know if anybody does. So I think in the end, that is the biggest question mark the Giants have. You know, we'll move on a little bit to the running backs, and that's a big question, but nobody runs the ball anymore 25 times a game, 15 times a game. So I don't think that's the major issue. The major issue to me is offensive line and the receivers. No tight end in camp to speak of. Hopefully they're developing one of these young kids. But without a sure 3 or 4 deep receiving core, this team is going to struggle, and I don't care what kind of system they play. I think that's the biggest issues that I see with offense so far. We'll talk about a little bit about the defense and the upgrade in the secondary, bringing in Thurman, bringing in Demps, Rogers, Cromartie with a big issue with a big signings, but I think the little or not talked about pickup was McLean from the Ravens. The Giants forever have been known for their linebacking core. I think for the last 5 or 10 years, the emphasis in that position and in that area has been put aside. And it's finally see with bringing in Beeson last year, McLean this year, that maybe that position has been upgraded. Hard to tell. We haven't been on the field yet. But I think that could be a strong point to go along with the secondary. The Giants have to play well on defense. Their division is loaded with offensive talent. Now, I am no Eagle fan. I spend my time hating the Eagles and their fans. The only one I can stomach is my cousin Todd. Other than that, I can't stand the Eagles or their fans. So, but I have to say that as a team, offensively, they're a scary bunch. And even better now that they picked up Sproles in the offseason. So the Giants now, with the depth in the secondary and the athleticism on linebacker, are a better team, I think, on paper. We'll see. There's still a lot to be talked about and a lot to be proven. So I've given you a couple things on the offense, a couple on defense. My sleepers for this year's camp, Jarrell Jernigan. At the end of last season, I thought Jernigan came in, played well. Was that the cause of that being the Giants were out of it, teams weren't overly scouting them, they weren't playing hard? I don't know. To me, he's a sleeper in camp. I think if Jernigan could come out there and give them something as the third or fourth receiver, would be huge. That's my big sleeper. I think Jernigan steps up this year and fulfills the draft choice that he was. The other one, and I really loved the pick, was Andre Williams, the big running back out of BC, Boston College for you non-sports fans. I think this guy is going to be the steal of the draft. If he gets the opportunity now, especially now with David Wilson possibly being out for the season, with more neck issues, I think a combination of him and Rashad Jennings at running back, it could be lethal. It's back to the old, I don't want to say ground to pound, because that's a Jet thing, Thunder, whatever the old Giant thing was. But having those two guys out there, I think that guy can be a steal for the Giants. I'm hoping that he gets the opportunity, and of course he's a rookie, so we don't know, you know, how he'll perform. Will he hold on to the football? Can he pick up blitzes? You know, the faster pace of the NFL system compared to the college ranks, who knows? So that's two guys that I feel along the way that are sleepers. I think the biggest question for me as a Giant fan, beyond all of that, is the leadership role that I think is missing on offense. Now you say we got a two-time NFL MVP. How can we be missing leadership? I think the Giant leadership has always come from their offensive line on offense. Maybe in the days of Amani Toomer, some of those guys, but Eli is not a vocal guy, obviously. I think that the guys out there who pushed that offense, who policed it, were the offensive linemen. And I think the last of those type of guys was Chris Snee. So my question is, who's the guy now? Who's the guy who steps up now and takes over that role on offense and is the vocal leader? You know, your defense, you have Beeson, you have Roll. You know, I don't see that guy on the offense who's got the foot out and kicking people in the ass and, you know, holding people accountable. So we'll wait to see who that person is. And let's see. Just trying to think of my notes here. Sorry, guys. And, again, I think some of the big things that I kind of overlooked a little bit here, Rashad Jennings as a signing I think was a big signing. I think he's due for a breakout year. He showed some good stuff last year with the Raiders. And I feel that was a very big key. Even though I don't think this team will live and die with running the ball, I thought last year that there was no sense of urgency on the defense to take our running game away, and people were not coming up with eight in the box. Eli Manning was forced to, you know, read through a defense that was seven deep instead of, you know, a couple less with people playing up in the box. So I think Jennings and Williams will be an integral part. It will not be the same as putting Peyton Hillis, Brandon Jacobs, Darrell Scott out there. I'm hoping that the running backs for this team will step up and play a big role. So that's a quick overview on the Giants. I'm going to go on to the other team who calls themselves a football team in New York, the New York Jets. So when it comes to the New York Jets, let's talk about the biggest thing in camp so far, and that would be the quarterback competition between Geno Smith and Michael Vick. Is it a competition? I don't think so. I think the Jets have determined that Geno Smith is going to be their quarterback, and I think Vick is kind of window dressing in the sense that he's there just to push the kid and say, hey, you're not going to just come here, throw your cleats on the field, and start every game. I'm not a big fan of Geno Smith. I wasn't when he was in college. After last year, I am not a fan this year either. But it's early in camp. My question with the whole Vic, with this whole controversy is, with Rex Ryan being on the kind of the hot seat. Now, I know that Woody Johnson loves Rex Ryan. That's his court jester. You know, he's the guy who put a face on the franchise, made them a back page highlight. But will his handling of Smith be influenced by his desire to make the playoffs this year? And when I say that is, you brought in a rookie quarterback last year, and you need to develop him. So that's growing pains. You know, it's 2-3 years for most of these guys. You know, unless you're Andrew Luck, unless you're Dan Marino, you know, you need 3-4 years of growing pains to get to the point where you are an NFL quarterback who can be relied on, if you got the ability. I think the biggest thing is if early in the season they get into a spot, they're 0-1, they're 0-2, they're 1-2, and Smith's not playing well, is Rex Ryan going to yank this kid in out like a yo-yo? And is that going to hurt his development? Have you, okay, sacrificed his confidence, his playing ability to try to make a run at the playoffs? And is Vic that guy? He hasn't been in years. So what's going to tell you that you're banking on the fact that not only is Geno Smith going to do it, but if need be, Michael Vick is going to do it? He's proven with a great offense last year, you know, 20-20, a good quarterback. Get him inside the 20, he doesn't put touchdowns on the board. With the receivers he had last year, you know, with the Eagles, he had Macklin, he had DeSean Jackson, he had Riley Cooper. He couldn't put points on the board. Now he's coming to the Jets. Eric Decker, Stephen Hill, who's he throwing the ball to? You know, but back to the point of, does Rex Ryan coach the team based on having to win this year or moving forward and developing a team to not only win this year but to win going forward? And I think that in a knee-jerk reaction in a game, if they get behind a little bit or this kid's not playing well, he will yank him in and out. And ultimately, I think it hurts Geno Smith. And I think it hurts the Jets for the long term. But I think that's more in the sense of the asinine way that the Jets have handled the whole thing. I mean, how did Rex Ryan keep his job to this point is a big question. First 2 years, based on somebody else's team, had a lot of success. Two AFC championship games, both losses. Then 3 straight years. Of non-playoff football. Biggest problem I have is, as a player's coach, he lost his team. And when a time came to be held accountable, he was not held accountable. The GM got fired, and Rex Ryan held his job. So now he held his job because the owner likes his court jester. And how do you build a team that way, where the guy who was buying the groceries, the guy who was out there shopping for the groceries right alongside of the GM, was given a pass, but the GM wasn't? To me, that was one had to go, they both had to go. The one was going to stay, they both had to stay. You've only set yourself up for a coach who's on the hot seat with a rookie quarterback, with a GM who's looking long-term. It makes no sense. I don't care how you slice it as a Jet fan. None of this makes any sense to me. There's no way in the world that this scenario should happen. Now, maybe they go out and they're successful this year, and my observations are completely wrong. But I don't think so. Folks, I learned a lot of things. I'm usually right. So let's put it back in perspective now. What are the other issues with the Jets? No weapons last year. They go out in the offseason. They get Eric Decker as their number one receiver. Is Eric Decker number one receiver? I don't think so. I think he's a damn good second receiver. I think with another wideout on the team, like he played last year in Denver, I think Eric Decker is a good ball player. I don't think anybody's out there saying, we got to stop Eric Decker. You know, you're not, it's not, well, we're going to move our best corner wherever Eric Decker goes. I still don't see that the Jets have that guy who's scaring people down the field. So you don't have a quarterback who's scaring anybody yet. You don't have a receiver who's scaring anybody yet. You got to hope you can run the ball. I don't know. They were a little more successful last year. Chris Ivory had a good year. They brought in Chris Johnson. Does he have anything left on the tires? We're going to find out. I still think as an offense, they're limited. Again, is Stephen Hill a good receiver? No. Will he get better this year? Let's hope so for the Jets' sake. But I still don't think that they've addressed the problems there. Defensively, it's a very good team. The defensive line is solid. Wilkerson, Richardson, take your linebackers, Copels, Demaryius Davis, Harris. There's a good, solid defense. But the biggest problem with the Jets' defense last year was the secondary. And, you know, and Rex Ryan being the defensive genius he says he is, how did he not adjust last year getting beat in the secondary? He stayed with his philosophy. They were going to blitz you to death. They were going to put pressure on you. They were going to play one high safety. They were going to force their corners to play man up, and it bit them in the ass 100 times. And not once did he adjust to that and say, all right, let me try to play defense, force people to go down the field. And they gave up more big passes than I'd seen the Jet defense do in a long time. But having said that, I think that's a strong point of the team is their defense. I still question the secondary. I think their corners are weak. I'm not sure about their safety help, but their front seven is as good as anybody out there. And I think that they will probably be a top 10 defense this year. And if they are, they probably will be in the hunt. The divisions, other than the Patriots, is always questionable. So I think there's an opportunity, if they get off to a good start, to make a run to the playoffs. Maybe once you get there, I think you have an opportunity to do well. They did it 5 years ago, the 2 years. Very questionable teams get to the playoffs, and they went and made a deep run. You get to the playoffs, and you can play defense, there's always a chance. There's always that chance. But, again, their secondary is still a big question mark in my mind. I do like a couple of their picks. I loved Jason Maud, a tight end. I think he has the opportunity to help right away. Great, great, great set of hands. I think that could be a huge, huge pickup. Again, I don't see much else in the way on that offensive side of the ball. So, thank you. So, that's pretty much my take on the Jets and the Giants. I want to go through a couple of hot topics for the NFL, and then I'm going to open up the phone lines. So, if you're interested in talking at that point, I'll open the phone lines up. Let's go a few topics, and then we'll do that. First one, let me ask you people a question. If Tom Brady or Peyton Manning win the Super Bowl this year, do they retire? I'm waiting for your answers. All right, I'll give you mine. I think either way, Brady's back. Win the Super Bowl, I think Tom Brady comes back. I think the guy's still got a fire in him. Peyton Manning, if he wins the Super Bowl, will definitely retire. If he doesn't get to the Super Bowl, I still think he might retire. I think he's taking one more shot at it. The guy's getting near 40 years old if he's not 40 this year, and I think that's a big question mark. Next biggest topic, I think, is Johnny Manziel and the Cleveland Browns and that, let's quote-unquote, quarterback competition. I think Hoyer starts the season. I think the ownership, the coaching staff, does not want to put Manziel in a position of starting the season that way. They're going to wait. If they play well, that's the opportunity to keep Hoyer out there. If he doesn't play well, then it's Johnny Manziel to the rescue. And if he falls on his face, who cares? He was rescuing the season anyway. So I happen to think that Johnny Manziel will be a terrific football player. I think he's got the it factor. I don't think he'll be anything spectacular. I don't think you're going to see him light up with 70% completion percentages. I don't think he'll throw for 35 touchdowns. But I think this guy will find a way to win until he gets himself killed, because he will. He will play with reckless abandon, and after a couple seasons, he will take a beating unless he learns to slide. Okay, that's topic two. Next topic I'll throw out there if anybody wants to call in is who will buy the Buffalo Bills? Does anybody want to buy the Buffalo Bills? Seems like a couple of guys do. John Bon Jovi being one of them. Don't know why he would want to buy them and move them to Toronto. I'm hoping Donald Trump gets the team. Folks, you can hate Donald Trump all you want, but at least he's interesting and he spends money. I always say, let the Bills win, because then the Jets don't. So I'm a big fan if Donald Trump would get that team, just to let you know. RG3, it's time for him to put up. I know he's coming off the injuries. I know that he suffered last year, but this team is pretty much loaded. They have a great running back in Alfred Morris. They have a great, they have good receivers now, Pierre Garçon, DeSean Jackson, who I don't like but is a good receiver. I think it's time for RG3 to put up some numbers and help that team win. New coaching staff, you know, there's a transitional period. Does that help or hurt? I think RG3 does not bounce back. I think that the 1 year he had was a flash. That's my opinion. So these are just opinions. Cowboys, are they ever going to win more than 8 games? Probably not. But will Jason Garrett ever lose his job? No, because Jerry Jones uses him as a puppet. Jerry Jones wants to coach the team as well as be the general manager, and he will keep Jason Garrett there forever. Cowboys, in my opinion, have done nothing to make themselves better. Nothing. They lost their best linebacker in Sean Lee to another injury. They have not upgraded the defense. There's a lot of question marks. Offensively, it's the same old team, and it's Tony Romo to the rescue. Great for three and a half quarters, and then at some point, he will find the defensive player and throw him the ball. So, the Cowboys, at best is an 8-8. I think they're the worst team in the division. But we'll have a whole season NFL right before the season starts. We'll have a whole breakdown of the NFL, hopefully. Let's see, anything else I want to talk about? Coaches on the hot seat. Yes, I know it's too early to say, but I think there's a few coaches on the hot seat. How Mike Smith in Atlanta has his job at this point. His brother or his cousin or maybe his mom owns the team. That guy has done less with more than any coach I've seen in a long time. How he has his job after the last couple seasons, I have no idea. He's got two of the best receivers in the game. He's got one of the young, quality quarterbacks in the league with a decent defense. And that team is miserable. And how he kept his job again this year, I have no idea. We spoke about Jason Garrett, Joe Philbin in the Dolphins. After the mess they were last year, he better come out with a hot start. Their team has underachieved last year, and I think that's another guy who's on the hot seat, Joe Philbin in the Dolphins. Obviously, anybody who coaches the Raiders is on the hot seat. So Dennis Allen, win early. They spent a lot of money. They brought a lot of players in. They have to win early. That guy is probably the biggest hot seat. And I'll tell you my two biggest hot seat guys. Rex Ryan, obviously. They better make the playoffs or finish with a 10-6 record or better. Because I think at that point he'd have to go. And the other guy I think is on the hot seat is Tom Coughlin. Why do you say, I think Tom Coughlin's on the hot seat? I'll tell you why. Because they just made all these changes. They've come off two or three subpar years. And they haven't made the playoffs, and he's 67 years old with a brand-new coaching staff and new players, and I think if they were to miss the playoffs or, again, not have a 10-6 or 11-5 record, I think Tom Coughlin could be replaced. So, again, an opinion of mine, not always one that people want to hear. And last on that issue on the NFL topics is congratulations to the NFL Hall of Famers going in this week, Michael Strahan being the giant among the bunch. Whenever I talk top giants of all time, first off, whenever we have a list of top players, it has to be from people you saw play. If I ask you who the top 10 giants, the New York Yankees are, I don't want to hear about Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig unless you saw them play. So if we ever talk about topics with lists, it's got to be from people you saw. When I talk lists with my friends and my family, I always say the same thing. Don't tell me about some guy you saw in a book or on a blurry newsreel. Tell me about the guys you saw. So when I talk greatest Giants or greatest Yankees or whoever. It's based on who I saw. So from 1975-76 through now, Michael Strahan is my third best Giant of all time. LT, Harry Carson, and Michael Strahan. So congratulations, Michael Strahan, Hall of Famer. And Andre Reed is not a Hall of Famer. And we'll have that to be a separate topic somewhere down the line. Hall of Famers who aren't Hall of Famers, and Andre Reed, not a Hall of Famer. Just putting it out there. So if you want to call me up on that, you can talk to me about that too. So now that I've talked for about 30 minutes, 31 minutes to be exact, I'm going to open the phone lines. If you feel like calling me and talking for about 10 minutes, you can call me at 347-826-9934. Again, 347-826-9934. We'll open up to your topics for about 15 minutes, 10 minutes, and then we'll move on to something else. We have our first call of the day. Okay, sir, tell me your name and where you're from. Hello?
Hello?
Okay, I guess nobody's there on this one. I'm going to say goodbye to this first caller. All right, so if anybody else is out there, they want to call in. Again, we're experiencing a little bit of technical difficulties, so I apologize. This is my first show. Maybe I'm not handling the callers as good as I wanted to. So, again, we went through the topics of the football. So, in the meantime, since I don't have any callers up on the NFL topics, I'm going to move on to my music topics of the day. And then we'll open up the phone lines again later or as they appear. Okay. So, segment two will always take into count my music and the love I have for hard rock and heavy metal. I'll go back to the first days. As a kid, all we ever listened to was CBS FM. We were in the car with my dad, my mom. It was CBS FM. It was the Belmonts. It was Elvis. It was Bill Haley and the Comets. And my whole musical perspective changed October 31st, 1975. Now, how do I remember that? My wife says I'm full of useless information, and how do I remember these things? But October 31st, 1975, I watched the Paul Lynn Halloween special. Who's Paul Lynn? Paul Lynn's famous for two things. He was the center square in Hollywood Squares for years, and he was also on the show Bewitched. But Paul Lynn that year had a Halloween special, and during that Halloween special, a band came on, and it was like a light bulb went off, the lightning bolt. Kiss. All of a sudden, this band came out, and the music was loud, and the fire, and the blood spitting, and the pyrotechnics just amazed me. 8 years old, I was hooked. For the next 4 or 5 years, every dollar I had, I bought Kiss albums and Kiss dolls and posters. And my uncle, love him to death, took me to my first Kiss show in 1979. I went to see Kiss in 1979, the Dynasty Tour. It was me, my brother, and his sister. We all went to see Kiss at Madison Square Garden. And I only remember two things. I remember it being the loudest sounds I've ever heard in my entire life. And I was hooked. I also remember people throwing M80s off the top of tiers and how crazy I thought that was. But that took me to a level of music that I am in today. And when I say a level, I say the type of music. I was a Kiss fan, still am a Kiss fan. And having said that, I want to talk a little bit about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and how disgraceful the members of Kiss were regarding it. Now, if you're a music fan, we all know the history of Kiss and the four members, Peter, Paul, Gene, and Ace. And the fact that the Rock and Roll of Fame, after all these years, finally recognized these guys and were putting them in was a disgrace that they waited this long. But for the members of Kiss to not be able to get together, and I say the members of Kiss, I mean Paul, Stanley and Gene Simmons, to not be able to get on stage and play 2, 3, 4 songs with the original band was disgusting. If you don't do it for yourselves, do it for the fans. Do it for people like me who at 8, 9, 10 years old was spending $20 to buy a couple of albums and some posters. to not go out there and play is ridiculous. You know, it's been bad enough that for the last 15 years they've gone out there with these, with this band with Tommy Thayer as the ace and Eric Singer portraying Peter playing drums, and tell us that that's Kiss. It's not Kiss. But okay, you know what? You can't make it work with the other guys. I got it. I understand it. But to sit there and not play at that show because you want to be in, you want to play only with the new band and not the old guys was pathetic, absolutely pathetic. And I think at this point, I would never go see Kiss play again. I would never buy any of their stuff. And I'll be honest with you, I bought their last couple albums, Monster, the latest one, and it was horrendous. It was bad. It was just like they slapped it together. Nothing to ever make you want to listen to it again. And then, and it shows up, because in concert, they barely play any of these new songs. It's still the old classics. That's what the people want to hear. But they got four guys up there, and two of them are pretending to be members of Kiss. Why do you care? I don't know. I care. It bothers me. I can't sleep on it. That's the way it goes. Having said that, the other members of Kiss, Ace Frehley specifically, put out an album about 5 years ago called Anomaly, which was fantastic. I don't know if anybody's seen it or heard it, I should say. It was fantastic. And what it showed me was the guy still got his chops. And now he's coming out with a new one. So part of my show is to tell you about these things. That's specifically why. Maybe you're not paying attention out there. Maybe you were a Kiss fan as a kid and you don't know that Ace Frehley's got a new album out. Well, Ace Frehley's coming out August 19th with Space Invaders, and I'm looking forward to it. But what it showed me was that Ace is still putting out good music, albeit he's not putting out as much as these guys are, but he's, the rest of the band, Kiss, it's over. It's time to call it a day. And I say that with a laugh because the recent talk out of the Kiss camp is that Gene and Paul are actually going to do a reality show where they're looking for their replacements. Replacements? What do you mean replacements? They're actually going to retire the two last original members, and they're going to find two guys to replace them and send four guys out in the same makeup and parade them around as Kiss. Really? This is what we're up to now? This is what we're going to do? Is it all? It's about the money. As a Kiss fan, any single person who would ever go to that concert, other than out of pure amazement or just to wonder what it's actually going to sound like, is ridiculous. I can't for the life of me imagine anybody paying the money to go and see that show. That is the most ridiculous thing that I've ever heard. But they're actually out there talking about doing it. Okay, so now that I've bashed Kiss, I want to say something nice about them. If anybody out there has noticed it, the Kiss members have opened up their own football team, the LA Kiss in the Arena Football League, and I love it. The uniforms are bad. I'm a big uniform guy. The uniforms are not good. Need better uniforms, need better helmets. But having said that, they've turned a football game into a rock concert. Pyrotechnics. There's flashing lights. It's a rock concert with a football game in the middle of it. And I think that's fantastic. And I think every team should do it. It makes it so more enjoyable, and it goes back to my premise, hard rock and sports. You get out there, you're watching a football game, and you're hearing music. People should have live bands. I think there should be live bands at these games. You know, in between quarters, at halftime. There should be a band set up someplace, and you play, and you rock the place out, because that's what it's all about. That's what I want to hear. That's the stuff I want to play, and I think that is a fantastic idea that they came up with. So I'm going to knock them on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I think that's disgusting. I'm going to knock them on the music they put out. I'm knocking them on their books. I won't even read Paul Stanley's book. Jeans was a joke. I can't knock them on this. I think it's a great idea. Better unis, guys. Let's get better uniforms on the guys and have some fun out there. I do see a caller up. I'm going to pick up a caller, and we'll come back to this topic in a minute. Giuseppe, you're on the air.
Yes, how are you? First-time caller, long-time listener.
Love having you aboard. Welcome aboard, and how can we help you today?
Well, first of all, let me tell you, your
your tirade about the Jets was totally on, insightful, and more fact than opinion based. Nothing of a man talking of knowledge of the NFL. As far as your Kiss comments, right on the money, where now it's just a circus where it's about generating money instead of getting back to where they were when they were living down in the village. My question is Peyton Manning, you brought up a topic of Brady and Peyton Manning maybe playing one more year. I have to agree. Brady, I think, still has a season or two left in the tank. Peyton Manning, I think if he wins, he's gone. He's done everything that can possibly be accomplished in the NFL, cementing his place as one of, I would probably say, one of the top 5 to 6 quarterbacks ever to play the game with all the awards that he has won. Tom Brady, I think if he does win, you know, he finds a way to win. He has won, a phenomenal quarterback, but I think you're right. He will come back for another year. So what do you think about...
Well, Giuseppe, I happen to agree with you on all your points. I do think, though, that there is a chance, based on his age, the turnover in rosters in the NFL, that if Peyton doesn't win this year, and especially if they don't make the playoffs, I think if he gets to the Super Bowl or falls a little short, I think that would be enough, you know, to maybe make him come back. But if they don't make the playoffs or if, God forbid, of another injury, I think you've seen the last of Peyton Manning at 39, 40 years old. So I appreciate your phone call. Go ahead, please, finish up.
With the secondary becoming any problem, obviously Peyton still has, obviously from last year's season, that this guy was on fire. Didn't really show any slowness at all. His release was a rocket. Completion ratio, touchdowns per game, phenomenal. Not one quarterback came close. Matter of fact, surpassing Tom Brady. But obviously, in my opinion, I think if their secondary doesn't step up to where they could stop a high-powered offense, no defense in the NFL is going to stop Peyton Manning when he is on, and they have a defense that can back him up. Your opinion?
Well, again, I agree with you. I just don't know they can duplicate what they did last year this year as well. But I appreciate you calling, and thank you for your time on that. Again, the phone lines are open if anybody else wants to call in and offer their 2 cents on some of these topics or something completely out of left field. I'll get back to my – in the meantime, I'm going to get back to my tirade on music. So now that I finished up with Kiss, and I want to recommend, by the way, the two books, Peter Criss's book and Ace Frehley's book. They were fantastic. Although I'll say Ace's book, I think somebody told him what to write, or they told him what he should have remembered. You know, it sounded good. It was 40 stories, but it talked of, hey, remember when this happened, Ace? And he would go, I don't remember, but I'm going to write it down anyway. Peter Criss, his book came off as logical and matter-of-fact, and it was a lot of crazy things in there that I would have never expected to hear from anybody. So now we're going to move on to, oh, we got another caller. Let me pick up the phone. Now we're going to move on to, okay, Paul, you're on the air.
Hi,
how are you? And tell me your name and where you're from.
My name is Lori. I'm from Staten Island.
Hi, Lori. Welcome to the show. How can I help you today?
I want to know if you think that the New York Giants defense will do a better job this year than last year.
I do. I feel that the Giants this year have brought in a lot more talent. They're a much quicker defense. I love the secondary. I absolutely love Rogers Cromartie. I think Prince Amukamara is poised to be a top cornerback this year. I love Antrell Roland. Stevie Brown's back from injury. So I think right there, we're getting Walter Thurman, Melando McClain. I think they're a great team. I think the biggest question mark I have right now is John Beasley coming back for the beginning of the season, and is he going to stay healthy? If that happens, I don't think there's any chance of them not being a better defense. They did finish top 10 last year in their league. So I think they could do better. I think the biggest question with the Giants is, can they rush the passer? I'm not sold on their defensive line. I love the fact they brought in Robert Ayers. I'm not a big Mathias Kiwanuka fan. I think JPP, DeMontre Moore have to have big seasons, and if they do, I think we'll have a good team, a good defense. Okay, so let's get back to my topics of music for about 5 minutes. So we got another caller. Hold on a second. Caller, you're on the air. How can I help you tonight?
Yeah, I was talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that you were talking about before.
Yes.
And it's nothing but a joke. It's not really a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's nothing but just to see who can go on and put music out. Because as far as the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame considers, rock and roll started with the Beatles and Rolling Stones, and rock and roll was around way more before that. Do you agree?
I agree. I think in the end, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is governed by who's hot for Rolling Stone. Jan Wenner, being the owner of Rolling Stone, has the ultimate say. I know that's not how they portray it, but that's and they put bands in there like ABBA and bands like Run DMC, who, again, I'm a fan of. That's not rock and roll. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame started way back in the 40s and 50s, and I'll say with Elvis, to me, is the beginning of that. And there are a lot of those bands who are not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame who deserve to be there. It's a popularity contest, and I think if you're not in good standing with Rolling Stone, the magazine, you don't get in there.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Have a good time.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
Okay, we got another caller on the air. Caller, you're on. Oh, let's see if he's on there yet. Caller, you're on the air. How can I help you? Hello? You're on the air. Can I help you? I guess not. We're going to move on to the net. We're going to go back to our talk about music. Okay, people. So now, with my last 13 minutes and 13 seconds of the show, I want to talk a little bit about my music. Hard rock and heavy metal. And a lot of you guys are out there saying, oh, I used to love that music back in the day. Those bands were great. Well, you know what, guys? They're still out there. You know, Judas Priest is still making brand new music. They're just coming out with Redeemer of Souls. I've heard a couple of cuts off of it. Fantastic music. You know, I just listened to Stryper. I was just telling some friends last night, Stryper's still out there. And they were amazed that this band was still out there. Nobody knew. These bands are still out there making good music. There are a lot of bands from that era. You know, Judas Priest, I mentioned them. Stryper, Iron Maiden's still putting out good music. Again, I mentioned before Ace Frehley. You know, Accept. Here's a band that you probably said, Accept? Where's Accept been? Well, Accept has put out two of the best albums I've heard in a long time. 4 or 5 years ago, they came out with Blood of the Nation. Fantastic heavy metal album. Fantastic. And recently came out with Stalingrad, another good album, and they're coming out with another one in August as well. These bands are still out there making music, and they're still touring. But people, the old days of putting out albums and people promoting them are over. You got to go on the internet. You got to find these people. I'm a big fan of Eddie Trunk. That's where I get my. I listen to Eddie Trunk every Monday night, Sirius XM, every Monday night, and I hear him talk to these bands. You know, Overkill, just putting out good music. Anthrax, a couple years ago, putting out new music. Great stuff. You know, did you know that, you know, Slash has got a new band and putting out new music. Fantastic stuff. Fantastic stuff. But people have to go out there and support it. It's not like the old days where you'd sell, you know, a million albums. Nobody's buying albums anymore. They're downloading one song. You know, me, I still want to buy CDs. I still buy vinyl. So, you know, I think... You know, we have to go out and support the music that we love. And I have a lot of friends who are big music fans. And, you know, it ended with, you know, Number of the Beast, or it ended with Screaming for Vengeance. Or, you know, these bands are still out there. You know, Final Frontier for Maiden was a great album. You know, it was number one in 29 countries, number four in the U.S. Nobody heard of it because nobody pays attention. These bands are still out there making good music, and people are not paying attention. I mean, I know a lot of you guys are going to know the name Jakey Lee, famous for being the second best guitar player Ozzy ever had. I'm sorry to Zakk Wylde, but Randy Rhoads, Jakey Lee, and then Zakk Wylde. Jakey Lee was great. Disappeared for 20 years. The guy's out there making new music with Red Dragon Cartel. Good stuff. People don't know it, though. People are not out there paying attention to buying this stuff. You know, if you don't do it, it's going to go away. So I am here to promote these bands and tell you that they're out there. They're touring. Go on the web. These bands are all over. They're playing, you know, BB King's in the city, the Bergen Arts Center. They're out there playing. Go see these bands. They're putting out good music. And you know what, guys? One of these days, they're all going to be gone. You know, and it ain't like my father's bands, you know, the doo-wop guys of the world, the Jive Five. You know, you get into your 60s and 70s as a heavy metal guy, you look a little funny. You know, you can't be 70-something years old. Have you guys seen the Rolling Stones lately? Lay down. Lay down. The Crypt Keeper's coming. You know, to me, it's a joke. They're 80 years old. You're playing metal music. You're not going to see these guys out there forever. Go see them while you can. They're putting out good music. Warren's putting out good stuff. Skid Row's still putting out stuff. I'm trying to think of some of the other bands I saw. You know, and I'll tell you the biggest thing. And in my last 9 minutes, I'm going to talk about some of these super groups, as they're calling now. The biggest problem in the music industry today is you can't sell albums. So the only way to make money is tour. So you can't go out forever with the same band. So there are these super groups popping up everywhere. The two biggest ones that I'll call super groups, but they're not, because it's more than just a one album thing or a one tour thing. Chickenfoot. I say, what's a Chickenfoot? Chickenfoot is one of the most talented bands you're ever going to listen to. Sammy Hagar, Michael Anthony of Van Halen fame, Joe Satriani, and Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. They put out a couple of great albums that nobody hears. Why, I don't know. I love it. Fantastic. But the biggest band, I have to tell you, in the last 4 years, and I'll tell you some of the other ones, but the biggest band I've heard lately, the Winery Dogs. Well, the Winery Dogs is Billy Sheehan on bass, Richie Kotzen on guitar, and Mike Portnoy on drums. Mike Portnoy is one of the best drummers I've ever heard. He was in every other band. He was in Avenged Sevenfold. He was in every other. Dream Theater was obviously his biggest band. But if you get a chance to listen to their first album, do it. One of the best albums you're ever going to hear. One of the best albums you're ever, ever, ever going to hear. Elevated is a terrific song. I saw them live at Eddie Trunk's 30th anniversary last year, and I was blown away. Absolutely blown away by that band. I mean, they, for one of the best sounds, just a great, great band. And the problem is, again, I talk to my friends who are big musicians, and I say, hey, have you heard the Winery Dogs? Who? You know, it's not like the old days, you know, where we all got together on the street corners and who brought the album that they went to our music center to buy. You got to go looking for this stuff. If you're a fan of this music, you got to go looking. Jump on the internet. Just type in Google accept. Google Winery Dogs. You know, go on Eddie Trunk's website, eddietrunk.com, blabbermouth.com. These are websites that will show you who's out there, where they're touring, who they're playing. I mean, Judas Priest is coming in October. Did anybody know? I guarantee you nobody knew. So, you know, they're coming in with Steel Panther and then Motley Crue's on a final tour. You know, there's bands playing all the time, and these are big-name bands, and there's no buzz. And I want to create a buzz. That's what I'm here for. I want to create the buzz. I want to be the guy who says, hey, these guys are out there playing. And I'm guilty of it myself. I haven't gone to a concert. I went to see Iron Maiden and Alice Cooper a couple years ago. I took my son. We had the greatest time. And since then, I haven't gone to a concert. There's been some great ones coming in small. You know, this acoustic shows. Somebody's got Tom Kiefer from Cinderella. He's been touring on acoustic plus with Cinderella stuff. Rick Emmett from Triumph. I did some acoustic shows at B.B. King's. There are bands playing all the time. Starland Ballroom in New Jersey, constantly. Skid Row's played there recently. Accept played there recently. And it's 5 minutes from my house, and I didn't go. So I'm going to get out there and start seeing these bands. Hold on. I'm sorry, folks. I got another caller. Let's get that caller on the air. How you doing, sir? How can I help you today? Welcome to the show. You out there, sir? Welcome to the show. How can I help you? Hello? Paul, are you there?
Hello?
Some sort of knucklehead. Okay, have a good one. Okay, so in our last 5 minutes, I'd like to talk to you, lastly, about some of the bands that are on tour right now. Like I said, I mentioned Kiss and Def Leppard are out this summer. I believe they're in this area for the next month. Skid Row coming to the Starland Ballroom on 8/15. Let's see, Jackal and Trickster. Now, there's a couple bands you probably haven't heard in a long time. They're actually still touring. They're at the Bergen Arts in September. King Diamond, not a big fan. He's rolling around in the city. Motley Crue, Judas Priest, still rolling around out there. Folks, we got to get out there and support these bands. We got to get out there and show our loyalty to the bands that we grew up loving. They're not going to be around forever. Again, you know, these are bands that in their 60s are going to be gone. You know, and we're getting up near our 60s ourselves, boys. So let's get out there and support our bands and show them a little love. So again, I'm gonna open up the phone lines for the last 4 minutes and 30 seconds if everybody has anything they want to talk about. Again, this will be a weekly get together. You'll hear this topics. I also have some plans. I'd like to have a fantasy football show. I'm actually gonna hopefully find a way to bring in some panelists for some shows. I would like to sit back and talk about, have these kind of conversations I have with my family live on the air. You know, in fact, I would like to get my family live on the air. It would be a kind of a hoot. You know, my cousin Todd, my dad, my Uncle Bob, we get together and we have these crazy conversations, and I like to bring them to the air. My friend Mike Klopsy from work, we get together and we have these crazy conversations about the Giants and who's the greatest Yankee, and I think having that on the air would be fun. You know, so every week we'll get together, I'll throw out my topics of the week, and we'll have a conversation about it, and hopefully you'll enjoy it. I'd also like to, one topic off that I didn't have a chance to get to was this Troy Tulowitzki saga that I've heard all week. And this is nothing but a bunch of disgruntled Met fans. And I'm sorry, Met fans. We'll have a better conversation about the Mets and Yankees next week. But this Troy Tulowitzki saga that I heard about. So for you fans who don't know, Troy Tulowitzki is a shortstop for the Colorado Rockies. He's on the disabled list, which means he's out hurt. For some reason, he winds up in Philadelphia for some tests. So while he's in Philadelphia, he decides to drive up and catch Sunday's Yankee game. Well, why is that a big deal? Well, Troy Tulowitzki is a huge Derek Jeter fan. He wears number 2. He plays shortstop because he's a Derek Jeter fan. So the guy's on the disabled list. He's in the area, and he decides to take up and go to the Yankee game to sit in the stands and watch his... Well, let's call it his idol, play a game of baseball. Now, he's a Major League Baseball player. How many times do you think he's got the opportunity to sit in the stands and just watch? Not play against him and keep an eye on him. I'm talking about just sit in the stands, eat a hot dog, have a soda, and watch Derek Jeter play baseball. I would have to say it never happens. But he has the opportunity. He takes advantage of it, and he goes to the game. And you would think that this guy was a spy. He was the worst human being alive. I'm listening to people talk all week about this disrespectful to his team. It's undermining the team. What, he's on the disabled list. I'm assuming sent here by the team to get some sort of a doctor second opinion on his injury. And he took in a baseball game. The guy has enough love of the game to sit in the stands, watch a baseball game. You know, a couple weeks ago, there's a ball player. I think his name is Anthony Rendon. I'm not sure about his name. But the guy actually went on in the newspapers or on the air and said that he doesn't watch the All-Star game, that he thinks the baseball's boring, and he would never watch it. You know, here's two guys representing the game of baseball. One's telling you he would never watch a baseball game, and the other one goes out of his way, drives 2 hours up the turnpike, goes and sits in the stands, and watches a Yankee game. People, grow up. Just grow up. This is a bunch of disgruntled Met fans because the Met fans are desperate to get a guy like this on their team. And he's been vocal and said he would love to be the guy who replaces Derek Jeter. And because of all of this, now I've heard the talk show people, it's ridiculous. People, grow up. I applaud the guy for going to a baseball game and enjoying a baseball game. The same as any major league player would do if he had the opportunity, or should if they had the opportunity. So I had to get that off my chest because I've been listening to it all week on the radio, and I think it's ridiculous. I see we're down to the last 30 seconds. I want to thank everybody. If you're out there listening, thank you for listening. If you're not out there listening, maybe you'll listen next time. Again, I want to thank my brother for pushing me to do this. I had a lot of fun. I know it probably was a little quick, some of my topics. I want to thank my wife again for encouraging me and helping me out with keeping the place nice and quiet. I want to thank everybody here. Again, next week, 6:30 Eastern Standard Time. Come back and see me. Have a great week. We'll see you next time. Hard Rockin' Sports.